Hail and welcome to A is for Agrimony, Coffee-Stained Notes on Witchcraft. I am your ghost, Margot, and this is the last Friday before the spring equinox. So I want to wish you all an amazing, blessed, and peaceful spring equinox. I absolutely love spring, my second favorite season following fall, of course. It's because of this nice in-between weather. It's not too hot, it's not too cold. It's getting warm and colorful with the earth's abundance. I was just out back with my animals this morning, and my yard, which looked like a desolate wasteland last month, is getting green again. My lovely magnolia tree is starting to bud, and we are approaching what I refer to and celebrate as magnolia season. For the species of magnolia that I have, the season lasts barely more than 2 weeks, but it is truly beautiful and magical to behold. So here's hoping we don't get suddenly a freakish cold spike that kills my soon-to-bloom magnolia flowers, which actually happened 2 years ago, and I'm still recovering from that. All right, so with the spring equinox approaching, my thoughts have turned towards my garden, of course, which I'll be doing a lot of work on this weekend, spring cleaning, and of course, celebration. I'm planning a nice little seasonal feast featuring eggs from my chickens. And not a whole lot is in season here quite yet where I live, besides mushrooms and greenhouse tomatoes, which are good all year. So I like to focus on foods that feel fresh with lots of bright and herbal flavors. And I'll be working in some recipes. I'll be working on some recipes that I look forward to sharing over on the Patreon. And that's patreon.com/A's for Agrimony. And besides a good cleaning and cleansing of the house, I want to make time for ritual focused on balance, of course, as we are experiencing the balancing of light and dark, night and day around this time, and abundance, because like my garden, I want to start planting the seeds and beginning the groundwork for what I hope to come in the following months, after time spent thinking and forming ideas and then planning or mapping out my intentions over the winter. It's time to begin starting the work. It sounds like I'm speaking in code, but I often use the garden or even just a single plant as a metaphor for how we voyage through the wheel of the year, from conception and planting to growth and harvest and then rest and repeat. It sounds like a lot, but many of us tend to move along in this process without even realizing it, because we're not that far removed from the cycles of nature, even if we feel as though we are sometimes. We just have to make an effort to tune in sometimes. But then efforts become habits, and habits become traditions. So I'm lifting my tea here and toasting to your spring equinox efforts, habits, or traditions. And I hope you do what makes you feel fulfilled during this seasonal shift. Oh, that is scalding hot. All right, so if you want to hear more about the spring equinox, I cover it along with more on episode 14, The Spring Equinox, Ostara, and the Witch's Garden. So go ahead and give that a listen if you want to get a little deeper into the spirit of the upcoming equinox. And speaking of the Patreon, which was a few sentences ago, I guess, I want to give a shout out and a warm welcome to the newest member, Lisa. Thank you so much for your support, Lisa. I appreciate you so much. I can't think of you without picturing you covered in glow sticks, just radiating this intoxicating, joyous energy at Anahata's Purpose 2 years ago, and it makes me smile every single time. I love you. And I hope you enjoy being a member of our little community. All right, so last episode, I talked about some stuff I'd been enjoying and reading lately, and I really enjoyed doing that, so I'm coming at you again with some more. It feels like the theme of the last couple weeks have been, for me, fairy tales, and dark fairy tales especially, as I just finished The House of Roots and Ruin by Aaron E. Craig, after immediately following the first in the series, which is The House of Salt and Sorrows. Both are fantasies in the tradition of the dark fairy tale, and the main characters are sisters from a duchy by the sea, but there is some really interesting world building and mythology woven through both books. And even though it took me a minute to get wrapped up in the first, I eventually absolutely did. It's a really fun and easy ride into a world of gods, goddesses, monsters, and ghosts, all wrapped up in some pretty bows. And it's just what I've been needing lately. And while finishing up with the House of Roots and Ruin, I ended up watching a new Netflix movie called Damsel, starring Millie Bobby Brown, Angela Bassett, and Robin Wright, among others, which felt very much in tow with my recent reading material. I don't want to give away too much because it literally just came out, but I enjoyed it very much, being in the fairy tale where the princess is her own savior mode, as I have been. And there's, well, obviously a princess, so to speak, a dragon, some badassery, and I got the exact ending that I wanted. So there's that. Okay, what else? Let me put this book down. So moving on, I feel like I might stay in the dark fairy tale fantasy world for a little while because I've really been enjoying it. So I grabbed two more, and I literally have no idea if these are going to be any good because I got no recommendation on these. I bought them simply because they were on sale at my favorite bookshop, and I have an unabashed obsession with a pretty hardcover. So I got Thorn Hedge by T. Kingfisher, probably next up, and then also What Big Teeth by Rose Zabo. So I really look forward to digging into those two. Okay, what else? So some of you may already be well acquainted with Which Way magazine. I'm a fan. It's an incredibly well-produced monthly magazine that you can subscribe to and receive actual print magazines or the digital version monthly. But they recently created a little something new that I'm also really enjoying. It's the Grimoire Society. It's a monthly serial in print that follows in the footsteps of its predecessor, the Penny Dreadful of old. So as soon as I saw it getting compared to a Penny Dreadful, I subscribed, and I'm loving it. It's adorable, it comes right to your door, and provides the perfect excuse to curl up and take a little time for yourself. Each installment includes one part of a 12-part mystery series, pretty good so far, a magical advice column, a few thought pieces, a recipe, a spell, a divination activity, a journal prompt, a horoscope, much more. I really love it, so I wanted to make sure I talk about it because I wish for the Grimoire Society to have great success so I can keep enjoying it. In fact, one of the things that hooked me from the start was a section on thoughts with the Socratic Sorcerer in the very first issue. There are three so far, and it is on toxic positivity. And I wanted to read this one little section to you as I reach for it under a pile of random stuff in front of me. All right. Thoughts with the Socratic Sorceress. Find weighty notions, little confessions, and paltry musings. Toxic positivity and its positively toxic side effects. Good vibes only. If something bad happened to you, it's because you attracted it. Have you read The Secret? If you've spent any time within the New Age or magical community, you've seen these words uttered either within a post of a brand new spiritual guru or as a comment under someone sharing difficult times. While it seems innocent at first, someone navigating their new, typically, spirituality, it's hard to deny that toxic positivity has become the new way to bully people spiritually. You'd be wrong if you thought the Christian converts were leaving the GCB energy at the door when they transitioned into New Age learnings. Often, this judgmental and holier-than-thou attitude has simply found new targets. No longer hidden under faux smiles at the church potluck, this spiritual bullying is wrapped up in emojis with an ethereal picture of the poster in a yoga pose. It's a coded message retelling the reader, I'm better than you and more loved by spirit because my life is better, i.e. more privileged. Unfortunately, this messaging takes real philosophical theories and beliefs and simplifies them to a now meaningless and ineffective point, its original meaning lost for at least a few generations. If you see phrases like this uttered in spaces and do not see it corrected, leave that space, group, account, user, etc. Unfollow, block, delete. Being victim blamed hurts our confidence, which ultimately dulls our power. Quick, short, and to the point. Love it. So I appreciated that entry. I've observed and interacted with a lot of individuals who are less witchcraft and more New Age. And while a lot of what they believe is extremely interesting to me, there will always be some things that I just can't reconcile. And those are the things that lead to the mindset that can fall into the category of toxic positivity, and all of its ugly, gnarled little branches are some. So it's wonderful, in my opinion, to know that so many in the witchcraft community are drawing attention to it with the intention of limiting or even eliminating the damage that it can cause. So bravo to the Grimoire Society. Good stuff. All right. It's time to get started with our next installment of Fortune and Flora. When last we left off, we examined the aces of the tarot. So naturally, we're discussing the twos today, as well as the very appropriately paired plant spirit Damiana. It's going to be fucking great. You're going to love it. Just kidding. I'm psyching myself up. All right. So before we talk about the twos of the tarot, we need to talk about the numerology of the number two. In numerology, the number two is often associated with harmony, balance, diplomacy, cooperation, relationships, and/or partnership, and the dance of opposites. Here's a breakdown of some of these. The number two is considered a symbol of duality, representing the balance between opposing forces, such as light and dark, positive and negative, protons and neutrons surrounded by electrons. It suggests the need for harmony and cooperation to achieve balance in life. The number two is also strongly linked to relationships, partnerships, and teamwork. It emphasizes the importance of cooperation, understanding, and compromise in interpersonal connections. People influenced by the number two are often supportive, empathetic, and seek harmonious relationships. Those influenced by the number two also tend to be diplomatic, tactful, and sensitive to the needs and feelings of others. They excel in mediating conflicts and finding peaceful resolutions. The number two is associated with intuition and insight. Individuals with a strong connection to this number often rely on their intuition to navigate through various situations, trusting their inner wisdom. Think the High Priestess. Cooperation and collaboration are also key themes associated with the number two, which encourages working together towards common goals, recognizing the strengths and contributions of each individual within a group. The number two is linked to emotional sensitivity and empathy. Those influenced by this number tend to be highly attuned to the emotions of others and may find fulfillment in nurturing and supporting those around them. Flexibility and adaptability are important traits associated with the number two. It suggests the ability to adjust to changing circumstances and find creative solutions to challenges. And finally, individuals influenced by the number two are often patient and understanding. They have a deep appreciation for the complexities of human nature and are willing to listen and offer support without judgment. So with the number two, we have harmony, cooperation, diplomacy, and the importance of relationships in achieving balance and fulfillment in life. Let's keep that in mind as we move on. So in tarot, the number two is primarily associated with the major arcana card, the High Priestess. And as we know, the High Priestess card embodies several key themes. Let's grab a quick refresher. So the High Priestess represents intuition, subconscious knowledge, and inner wisdom. She encourages listening to one's inner voice and trusting one's instincts. The card is often seen as shrouded in mystery and represents the hidden, unseen aspects of life. The High Priestess invites exploration into the depths of the subconscious mind and the mysteries of the universe. The High Priestess is a symbol of the divine feminine archetype, embodying qualities such as intuition, receptivity, and nurturing. And unlike some other cards in the tarot deck, the High Priestess is not actively taking action. Instead, she sits in passive observation, suggesting the importance of reflection, meditation, and introspection. The High Priestess embodies dualities and balance, much like the number two in numerology. She sits between two pillars, representing opposites such as light and dark, conscious and unconscious. Then duality emphasizes the need for balance and harmony in life. The High Priestess is often associated with the moon in tarot symbolism, and the moon represents the subconscious mind, intuition, and the cycles of change. Her connection to the moon underscores her association with intuition and the unseen realms. And finally, the High Priestess holds a veil that partially obscures her, or she sits in front of one, symbolizing the veiled truths and the hidden knowledge that she guards. She invites seekers to delve deeper into the mysteries of existence and to explore the realms beyond the physical world. The High Priestess reminds us to trust our inner guidance and embrace the mysteries of life. But in her representation of perfect balance, she is quite the embodiment of the number two, among other things. So the number two is also associated with Taurus, the second sign in the zodiac, the Venus-ruled fixed earth sign represented by the bull, sturdy, loyal, romantic, and nature-loving, yet stubborn and having a great capacity for kindness as well as indignation and fury. And Gemini, the Mercury-ruled mutable air sign represented by the twins, charming, curious, and clever, but can also be unpredictable and at times reckless. The number two is ruled by both Mars, the second planet associated with the god of war, and the moon associated with the divine feminine. It's also associated with Monday, the second day of the week in many cases, and is also ruled by the moon. And finally, also ruled by the element of water. Okay, lots of patterns coming together here. Let's talk about the tarot cards. Starting with the twos of wands, wands being ruled by fire. The two of wands carries several layers of meaning, primarily focused on themes of vision, planning, exploration, and decision-making. This card often depicts a figure holding two wands, looking out over the landscape or into the distance. This figure represents someone who is in a position of power, authority, or potential, and who is contemplating their next move. It represents choices, planning, and taking the first steps towards a goal, as well as persuasive action and an open-minded approach to new ideas. The two wands suggests that you have the potential and the resources to move forward, but you may need to make decisions and consider your options carefully before proceeding. It encourages you to explore new possibilities and expand your horizons. Let's talk about contemplation and planning. The figure's posture and demeanor suggests that they are in the midst of this and that they are not yet taking action, but are instead considering their options and envisioning the future. The Two of Wands indicates a moment of pause before embarking on a new journey or pursuing a new goal. Also, exploration and expansion. The landscape or the horizon that the figure gazes upon symbolizes the vast possibilities and opportunities that lie ahead. The Two of Wands encourages exploration and expansion, urging the individual to step out of their comfort zone and venture into new territories, both literal and metaphorical. And we also have vision and long-term goals. The wands held by the figure represent vision, inspiration, and creativity. And the individual has a clear vision or long-term goal in mind and is ready to take the necessary steps to bring it into reality. This card encourages strategic thinking and goal setting. And we come to choice and decision making. The Two of Wands can also indicate a moment where the figure may be weighing their options and considering which path to pursue. And the card reminds the individual that with vision and planning comes the responsibility to make choices that align with their goals and values. And finally, the Two of Wands encourages courage and initiative. It suggests that the individual has the power and resources to take the step on their journey, but they must be willing to seize the opportunity and act with confidence. This card reminds the individual that success often requires taking risks and embracing the unknown. So to sum it up, the Two of Wands in tarot represents a moment of contemplation, planning, and visioning. It encourages exploration, expansion, and strategic decision-making, urging the individual to step into their power and pursue their goals with courage and initiative. That spark of fire. Okay, let's move on to the Two of Cups. Cups being ruled by water. Two of Cups carry several layers of meaning also, as they all do, primarily focusing on themes of love, partnership, connection, and harmony. The Two of Cups typically shows a romantic, emotional, spiritual, or advantageous connection between two individuals, often depicted as a couple sharing a moment of unity. The two central figures face each other and hold their cups up in a toast. The cup represents emotional fulfillment, unity, partnership, and the sharing of a deep connection or love and affection between two individuals. It represents partnerships, relationships, and emotional and spiritual balance found within each other. And this card signifies the beginning of a harmonious and mutually beneficial relationship, whether romantic, platonic, or professional, and encourages cooperation, understanding, and the building of strong connections with others. Let's talk about soulmates and the soulmate connection. The Two of Cups is often associated with soulmate connections, romantic partnerships, and deep emotional bonds. It suggests a harmonious and mutually fulfilling relationship where both partners are deeply connected on an emotional and a spiritual level. This card indicates a strong sense of mutual respect, understanding, and empathy between these two individuals, which brings me to unity and partnership and cooperation. The card suggests that the individuals represented are equals, coming together in a spirit of collaboration and mutual support. The card encourages teamwork, compromise, and shared goals in relationships. And with that comes emotional balance and harmony. It suggests that both partners are in tune with each other's needs, emotions, and desires, creating a supportive and nurturing environment for love to flourish. This card encourages open communication, empathy, and the expression of love and affection. And you can't have that without mutual respect and trust. The Two of Cups indicates a relationship built on mutual respect, trust, and honesty. It suggests that both partners feel safe and secure in each other's presence, allowing them to be vulnerable and authentic. And this card encourages the cultivation of trust and intimacy in relationships, fostering a deep sense of connection and belonging. It's a celebration of love. The Two of Cups is often associated with celebrations of love, such as weddings, engagements, or anniversaries, and it symbolizes the joyous union of two souls and the beginning of a journey filled with love, happiness, and fulfillment. The card invites the individual to celebrate the love and the connection that they share with their partner. However, in some cases, especially following strife, the Two of Cups may indicate reconciliation or healing within a relationship. It suggests that conflicts or misunderstandings can be resolved through open communication, forgiveness, and a willingness to work together towards common goals. And this card encourages the individual to prioritize harmony and understanding in their relationships. So to sum this one up, the Two of Cups in tarot signifies love, partnership, connection, and harmony. It represents a deep emotional bond shared between individuals and encourages mutual respect, trust, and collaboration in relationships. And it invites the individual to celebrate the love they share with their partner and to cultivate a supportive and nurturing connection built on understanding and empathy. All right, time for the Two of Swords. Swords, which is ruled by air. The Two of Swords is rich in symbolism and carries several interpretations, primarily revolving around the themes of decision-making, choices, and inner conflict. So the Two of Swords often depicts a figure seated and blindfolded while holding two crossed swords. The blindfolded figure represents a state of confusion, uncertainty, or avoidance. The blindfold suggests that the individual is unable or unwilling to see the full picture or make a decision based on a clear understanding. And this may indicate a need to confront difficult truths or make choices despite feeling unsure. So this card suggests that you may be feeling torn between two options or viewpoints, unable to see clearly due to emotional turmoil or indecision. It advises you to weigh your options carefully, seek clarity, and find a resolution that aligns with your values and priorities. The crossed swords held by the figure symbolize the decision at hand or the conflict being faced. Swords in the tarot represent the intellect, the thoughts, and the decisions. And the crossing of the swords suggests a standoff, a stalemate, or a situation where opposing viewpoints or choices are in conflict, which again brings us back to balance and equilibrium. Despite the tension implied by the crossed swords, there is a sense of balance and symmetry in the Two of Swords. The figure sits with straight posture, and the swords are held evenly. This balance suggests a need to find equilibrium within oneself or within a situation before making a decision. And it can also suggest that the choices set before the figure are difficult because they present equal gain or loss. So the need to search the soul is upon them, which can bring inner conflict and indecision. The individual may be torn between two options, ideas, or courses of action, unable to move forward due to conflicting desires, beliefs, or fears. And this card suggests a need to confront these inner conflicts honestly and make a choice that aligns with their own values and goals. And sometimes this can result in avoidance and denial. The blindfold in the Two of Swords can symbolize avoidance or denial of a difficult truth or situation. The individual may be consciously or unconsciously ignoring important information or feelings, hoping to avoid confrontation or discomfort. And this card urges the individual to remove the blindfold and face reality with courage and clarity. Courage and clarity being very important themes in the air-ruled suit of sorts. So here you want to access rather than deny the truth of a situation and your true feelings. So we have a need for clarity and insight. While the Two of Swords represents a moment of indecision, it also suggests an opportunity for clarity and insight here. The blindfolded figure can choose to remove the blindfold, open their eyes, and see the situation from a new perspective. And this card encourages the individual to trust their intuition, seek clarity, and make a decision based on inner wisdom. So what's the resolution, and how do we move forward? Ultimately, the Two of Swords indicates that a decision must be made in order to move forward. While the choice may be difficult or uncomfortable, it is necessary for growth and progress. And this card reminds the individual that clarity and resolution can only be achieved through facing challenges and making conscious choices. So the Two of Swords in tarot represents a moment of indecision, inner conflict, and the need for clarity, and it urges the individual to confront their fears, remove obstacles to understanding, and make choices that align with their truth and their values. Okay, last but certainly not least, the Two of Pentacles. Pentacles ruled by Earth. Two of Pentacles represents themes of balance, flexibility, juggling priorities, and adaptability. The central figure in the Two of Pentacles typically depicts a figure juggling or balancing two pentacles, often with a lemniscate or infinity symbol connecting them. This symbolizes the need to juggle multiple priorities, responsibilities, or projects simultaneously and finding stability in the midst of all this change and chaos. This card suggests that you may be facing challenges related to time management, finances, or conflicting obligations. This was a major theme for me that kept coming up in this last year. It encourages you to stay flexible, prioritize what is most important, and maintain a sense of equilibrium as you navigate life's ups and downs. So the big theme here is balance and harmony. The Two of Pentacles emphasizes the importance of balance and harmony in all aspects of life. It suggests that the individual is adept at managing various aspects of their life, such as work, finances, relationships, and personal well-being, without becoming overwhelmed. It's not easy. And this card encourages finding equilibrium between competing demands. So what we need is flexibility and adaptability. And the figure in the Two of Pentacles demonstrates this. They are able to adjust their plans and priorities as needed, navigating through transitions and upheavals with ease. This card encourages the individual to remain open-minded and flexible in their approach to managing change and uncertainty with balanced calm. So, okay, the Two of Pentacles indicates a need to prioritize and manage one's time, energy, and resources effectively, and it advises finding creative solutions, delegating tasks, or seeking support to manage responsibilities more efficiently. And for that, we need to embrace a flow and a rhythm. The lemniscate connecting the Two Pentacles symbolizes the cyclical nature of life and the flow of energy. It suggests that change is constant and that the individual must learn to navigate the ebbs and flows of life with grace and rhythm. And this card encourages embracing the natural cycles of growth, expansion, contraction, and renewal. And there could be a lot to do with financial management here, as it is the Pentacles. The Two of Pentacles often has associations with financial management and decision-making. It may indicate the need to budget, prioritize expenses, or find ways to increase income while minimizing expenses. And this card advises the individual to take a balanced and pragmatic approach to financial matters, avoiding overspending or overcommitting. But remember, despite the apparent chaos or uncertainty depicted in the Two of Pentacles, there is a sense of stability and resilience there as well. The figure's ability to maintain balance and composure suggests that they possess inner strength and resourcefulness. And this card encourages the individual to trust in their ability to adapt to changing circumstances and to find stability within themselves. So in summary, the Two of Pentacles in the tarot signifies balance, flexibility, and adaptability in managing life's challenges. Encourages the individual to prioritize their responsibilities, find creative solutions to problems, and maintain a sense of equilibrium amidst change. And finally, it reminds us that with careful planning, flexibility, and perseverance, we can successfully navigate the complexities of life, even when things seem to be piling on way too fast for our liking. We are extraordinary. Okay. So overall, the twos in tarot remind us of the importance of balance, decision-making, and finding harmony in various aspects of our lives, whether it's relationships, goals, conflicts, or responsibilities. They encourage us to consider our options carefully and strive for equilibrium in the face of challenges. And when you pair that with the ruling elements of the four suits, air, fire, water, and earth, as well as the themes and symbolism depicted in the cards, we can glean that information and commit it to memory in order to help us read, understand, and communicate in the language of tarot, further helping us to develop the inherent intuition that we tap into when we pick up the cards in the first place. All right, let's move on to a plant spirit that was almost entirely inspired by the Two of Cups. Well, mostly, anyway, it's Damiana. Damiana, or Ternera diffusa, is a small shrub native to Mexico, Central America, and the Caribbean, as well as southern Texas in the United States. It can be identified as a relatively small, woody shrub that produces small, yellow, aromatic flowers, which blossom in early to late summer and is followed by fruits that taste similar to figs. Damiana is an ingredient in a traditional Mexican liqueur, which is sometimes used in lieu of triple sec in margarita recipes. And in Mexico, it is said that it was used in the original margarita. And the Damiana margarita is popular in the Los Cabos region of Mexico. I'm going to have to try that. So, Damiana has a long history of medicinal use dating back to the ancient Aztecs and Mayans. Indigenous peoples of Central and South America, including the Aztecs and Mayans, used Damiana leaves primarily for its purported mood-enhancing and stimulating properties, as well as an aphrodisiac. It was often brewed as a tea or smoked. In fact, still today you can find Damiana in various herbal smoking blends, also used to induce calm and for its mood-boosting effects. But one of the most well-known traditional uses of Damiana was as an aphrodisiac, as it was believed to enhance libido and sexual function in both men and women. Damiana has also been used traditionally to aid digestion and relieve stomach complaints, often brewed as a tea and consumed after meals to promote digestion. And some traditional herbalists have used Damiana as a nervine toxic for calming and relaxing effects on the nervous system. In modern herbal medicine, Damiana is still used for similar purposes. It's often included in herbal supplements or teas, marketed for its aphrodisiac effects, as well as for its potential benefits for mood, relaxation, and digestion. And while much of the evidence for Damiana's medicinal uses is anecdotal or based on traditional knowledge, some scientific studies have investigated its potential health benefits. However, more research is needed to confirm its efficacy and safety for various conditions, as it always is. In many countries, Damiana is considered a dietary supplement and is available over the counter. However, regulations regarding its sale and use may vary depending upon the country or the region. Overall, Damiana has a rich history of traditional use for various health purposes, particularly as an aphrodisiac and as a digestive aid. And while modern research on its medicinal properties is limited, as it typically is with traditional medicine, it continues to be used in herbal medicine and alternative health practices around the world. Now, Damiana also has a rich folklore associated with it, particularly in Mexico and surrounding regions. It is often associated with love, romance, and passion, and is believed that brewing Damiana tea or infusing it in alcoholic beverages can enhance the romantic feelings and increase sexual desire. It's sometimes used as an ingredient in love potions or rituals to attract a romantic partner. In some traditions, Damiana leaves are used for divination purposes, and it is believed that burning Damiana leaves and interpreting smoke patterns can provide insight into matters of love, relationships, and the future. Damiana is also associated with fertility and reproductive health. Some believe that consuming Damiana tea or supplements can increase fertility and improve reproductive function in both men and women. And in some folk medicine traditions, Damiana is sometimes used for protection against evil spirits and negative energy. It's believed that carrying or wearing the leaves can ward off malevolent forces and bring good luck. And there are some who believe that drinking Damiana tea before bed can enhance dream recall and facilitate lucid dreaming. It's thought to promote relaxation and heighten awareness during sleep, leading to more vivid and meaningful dreams. And when awake, Damiana can be burned during meditation or divination to help induce vivid images. And of course, we have herbal lore. As we discussed, in addition to its mystical associations, Damiana also holds practical significance in traditional herbal medicine. It's considered a valuable tonic herb for overall health and vitality, often used to support nervous system, digestion, and reproductive organs. So, magic and witchcraft. Damiana is ruled by the planet Mars and the element of fire. And in modern witchcraft and magical practices, it is often valued for its associations with love, passion, and psychic abilities. Let's take a closer look. Love spells. Damiana is commonly used in love spells and rituals to attract romantic love, enhance passion in existing relationships, or increase self-love and confidence. It can be incorporated into spell jars, sachets, or candle spells intended to draw love into one's life. And it's also been used as a magical restorative for existing relationships that may need some reinvigoration. Divination. Damiana is believed to heighten psychic abilities and intuition, making it useful for divinatory practices such as scrying, tarot readings, or dream work. Burning Damiana leaves or incorporating them into divination rituals may help facilitate clearer insights, detailed visualizations, and connections to the spiritual realm. Aphrodisiac magic. Due to its traditional reputation as an aphrodisiac, Damiana is often used in magical workings related to sexuality, passion, and sensuality. And it can be included in spells or rituals designed to ignite desire, enhance sexual pleasure, or promote fertility. Some practitioners have been known to steep Damiana in wine to create a love elixir to share with an intimate partner or sprinkle over a homemade dish that is shared with a love interest. Protection spells. Damiana is sometimes used in protective magic to ward off negative energy, psychic attacks, or malevolent spirits. It's believed to create a shield of energetic protection around the practitioner, helping to keep them from harm. Dream magic. Damiana, being associated with enhancing dream experiences and promoting vivid, lucid dreaming, can be included in dream pillows or sachets or herbal teas intended for dream work, and may encourage prophetic dreams, astral projection, or spiritual insight during sleep. Herbal baths and ritual cleansings. Damiana can be added to, I'm saying the name like a lot. All right. Damiana can be added to ritual baths or cleansing ceremonies to purify the mind, body, and spirit. Its aromatic properties are thought to cleanse and uplift the energy, promoting emotional healing and relaxation. Some practitioners use Damiana in rituals or ceremonies aimed at deepening their connection to the spiritual realm, ancestors, or deities. Burning Damiana as incense or offering it as a sacred herb may help facilitate communion with higher powers or spiritual guides. And finally, as a spell enhancer, Damiana is sometimes included in spell recipes or herbal blends to amplify the intentions of other magical ingredients. Its energy is believed to enhance the effectiveness of spells related to love, psychic abilities, and spiritual growth. As with any magical practice, it's essential to approach the use of Damiana with respect and intentionality. Practitioners should always research and understand the properties and associations of any herb they choose to incorporate into their magical workings. And if you're interested in getting in touch with your sensual side, making some extra special preparations before date night, or even sharing a sensual bath with your partner, simply prepare a very strong Damiana flower tea and add it to a warm bathtub along with rose petals, maybe some jasmine if you have it, and pink Himalayan salt. Include pink candles and soft incense like sandalwood for a relaxing and sensual experience, or red candles and cinnamon or dragon's blood incense to turn up the passion. For some added love and partnership energy, lay the Two of Cups out near your ritual bath and enjoy. All right, that is all that I have for you today. So please be well and have an amazing weekend and a blessed spring equinox. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of A is for Agrimony, Coffee Stained Notes on Witchcraft. If you like what you've been hearing, please drop me a review wherever you're listening. If you'd like some more content, please go to aisforagrimony.com, where you can find my blog, episode archive, spells and rituals, the Living Grimoire, and soon to come, the Coven Shop. You can follow me on Instagram at a_is_for_agrimony, that's an underscore in between each word, over on Threads under the same exact handle, or you can like my Facebook page at facebook.com/aisforagrimony. Want to contact me? Shoot an email to reachmargo@aisforagrimony.com. And if you're interested in some exclusive bonus content, you can join the community over on Patreon at patreon.com/aisforagrimony, where I share early release, unedited video format episodes, weekly collective card readings, monthly spells, occasional bonus content, and more to come. Again, thank you for listening, be well, and have an amazing weekend. finally, it reminds us to... It reminds us that with careful planning, and the card encourages... All right.